You know, some people live for summer. My wife's one of those. But there are a lot of people, a lot of us who really enjoy getting out during a beautiful Wisconsin winter as well. Actually, Renee likes to get out in the wintertime too, but she dislikes summer a whole lot better. But a lot of us like winter just as well. Larry Mueller here. Great way to enjoy Wisconsin's natural areas while also getting some solid exercise. And this is something we do in our family when we can. Cross-country skiing. Chad McGrath is the author of several cross-country skiing and hiking guidebooks, including Great Cross-Country Ski Trails, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Ontario. He's been with us a number of times over the years, often by phone, but today with me in the studio. And Chad, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
Wonderful to be here. It's great to have you with us to talk about cross-country skiing. And let me, before I start asking you some questions, let me remind you as you listen in, you can call in with your questions or comments. Do you cross-country ski? What got you started? What do you enjoy about it? If you've never done it or just sort of basically a newcomer to it and have some questions, you can join too. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post a question or a comment or a photo on my Facebook page. For that, you go to The Larry Mueller Show. And as we look across the state, kind of up and down on the ski conditions.
Yes, it was kind of nice for the people in southern Wisconsin early this year. You got a lot of snow early, and it was very skiable. I came down, skied a few places, and we had plenty of snow up north. I live within about 60 miles of Lake Superior, and so I get extra snow, and we did good. And then we had the meltdown a couple weeks ago, and then that made everything everywhere pretty uncomfortable. Even some of the Michigan trails that are in the snow belt closed down for a week or two. And they're back open, though, and things are going pretty good up there.
Well, it's a great sport, isn't it? I mean, gosh, talk about great aerobic.
It is, yes. Trying to get in shape for it. And when you begin to ski, you're using more muscles than if you were just running, and or most sports. Swimming maybe is one that's similar and using muscle use. But it's a good way to get in shape, stay in shape, and have fun.
Yeah, we do it. Our family we have a 9-year-old, so Emily and I we take off together, and then Renee, my wife, she goes. She.
Very good. Yes.
She takes off, and she's soon out of sight.
Yes. Does Emily use poles, or do you teach her without poles?
She uses poles.
Okay. It's a good for young kids. It's really good to not let them use their poles and help them just play on the skis. I've got a 4-year-old grandson and a 6-year-old granddaughter, and she's wanting her poles now, so I have to give them to her some of the time. But once in a while, I tell her, I'll go out without poles if you do too, and she goes then.
Well, Bill in Sheboygan Falls has a comment or question. Bill, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. Yes, I'd appreciate your guest's thoughts. I still ski with my old 3-pin binder system, and I see in Goodwill and Bethesda many, many pairs of these skis at reasonable cost. What's your guest's thought on using and continuing maybe on this system as opposed to spending dollars for the latest? All right, that's the point. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Well, Bill, I think there's nothing wrong with using some of that older equipment if you like it, if you're having fun, you're out there getting the exercise. I mean, for years, that's all there was. So there's nothing wrong with it at all. And you're right, you can probably find some good bargains equipment-wise. The main difficulty or difference is that with newer material, you'll have slipperier skis, you'll have faster skis, you'll have better control of the skis because of that binding and some of the poles. And they're lighter, too, so it's in some ways a little less effort to ski with newer skis. And if you want to go waxless. If you want to go a waxless ski, there's some really excellent waxless skis out there now that you don't have to worry about waxing at all. So those would be the advantages. But there's nothing wrong with doing it on old equipment. Nothing at all.
Nope, not at all. Thanks, Bill. Linda in Medford, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm 62 years old. I've been cross-country skiing for 32 years. The hills are like old friends. I know them before I get to them. Absolutely love it. We started our kids skiing when they were little. They're now grown and married with children, and they're still skiing and wanting to take their kids out when they, you know, are old enough to try it. Our oldest is 3 and a half, our oldest grandchild. So we're hoping this winter maybe we have some little skis if we can find some boots, you know, to start her out on the level and just getting the feel of it. She loves the outdoors. So it's an awesome sport. And we have so many places where we live where we can, the trails, you can just go skiing. You can put a donation in the box and miles and miles and miles.
Yeah.
Where do you ski? Where's your favorite ski?
The hills that we go to the most often, I would say, are the JC trails on Highway D between Rib Lake and Westboro. And they go forever. They have a ski race, actually, every year as well. So, I mean, the trails are well-maintained, and we have so many different opportunities. But those are our favorite trails.
Yeah, right in the Medford area.
Oh, right under our nose. I mean, it's so accessible and so healthy, and it's just a wonderful thing. And you can do it forever. I still have the same pair of skis I started with. They're waxable, and my skis are faster than anyone's.
Maybe it's you.
It's fun to be 62 and be able to enjoy that. It's great. It's great. So. Well,
super.
That is a great call, Linda, and just the whole, there's nothing like out there, being out there skiing, and then come in, get some hot chocolate or whatever. Your face is kind of warm or almost burning from.
Yeah, a lot of times you want a cool drink because you don't feel the cold. You're active, you're moving, you know, and the wind, the trees block the wind. So, you know, even on a relatively windy day, you can still get out there. As long as the temperature doesn't drop too low. We have tried it when it was a little too cold and learned that that wasn't wise. But we do. We just love it. It's a great way to try and get your exercise, you know.
So you look forward to winter.
Oh, definitely. I'm not quite as crazy as I was when I was younger. I would feel bad in the spring when the snow would start to melt. But I can embrace spring as well.
Okay.
But I do love winter.
Thank you so much. That's a great advertisement for cross-country skiing, isn't it, Chad?
It is. And I think that comment about the cold is true. Although if you're careful and you dress right, you can ski through most anything. One of the interesting things about cold and snow and skiing is that the colder it gets, the slower your skis are. And so that if you skate ski and trying to do that around zero or below, it gets like sandpaper. It just really is slow. So most folks will then go back to the old tried and true classic skiing.
Isn't it interesting that a hill can be totally different depending on the temperature?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can blend the hills together, actually, when the snow is fast. And when it's slow, you'll stop in between them. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a totally different experience.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah,
bye,
you
Linda.
Too. Wonderful call. We have an email from Zoe, who was wondering where in the southern Wisconsin or the Madison area could I take my dog
ski-joring, whichever.
Yeah. We do it every year here in Illinois, but I am in McHenry County, and we haven't had much snow in McHenry County.
Ski-joring. I do some of it. I teach some of it. We have people up to our place to do it. But it's a difficult thing to find a trail for it. In southern Wisconsin, I don't know of any of the trails that allow it. formally. Sometimes if you can get out on a golf course, if they don't mind and haven't posted it, no skiing, and if the snow depth is right, you can ski jor anywhere you want. On snowmobile trails after the season is over, that once the snowmobile trails have closed, sometimes there's some great ski joring on those trails. And any place you can find a road that is tracked a little bit or packed down, that's what you have to try to do. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to find anything. I don't have a recommendation for that other than what I said.
You know, and some people are probably saying, what the heck is ski joring with?
Ski joring is putting on your skis and hooking yourself up with a line and a belt around your waist to a harnessed dog, or two or three, usually two. Some people use three, but two is usually enough for me. Mm-hmm. And then they pull you down the trail, and you can just stand there and be pulled if you want, or you can try to stride, or you can skate with them. And there are ski jor races up north, usually in association with dog sled races in Wisconsin. And they're generally a mile or two long, sometimes 5 kilometers. And it's a lot of fun. And people who have dogs look at it as a way to kind of team up with their dog and have a good time and give their dog some exercise. So.
And the dogs will like it, too.
Dogs love it. Yeah. You have to be a little careful that the dog is big enough. 35 pounds is sort of the general rule of thumb. And most importantly is to use a harness and don't hook him or her up to the collar.
Yeah.
That's the bad thing. It can hurt their neck.
Our guest today, Chad McGrath, author of several cross-country skiing and hiking guidebooks, including Cross-Country Ski Trails, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan and Ontario. Our guest, you may have a question or a comment or maybe a story to share about your cross-country skiing. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Love to have you post a question, a comment, or even a photo. You got a good cross-country ski photo? I'd love to see that, too. That's at The Larry Mehler Show. We have Amanda Magnus today answering the phone, our on-air producer. I'm Larry Mehler. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here with my guest, Chad McGrath, who is a cross-country ski expert. He's done lots of it, written books about it, and happy to answer your questions. Or, like any of us, he likes a good story, too. If you got a good story, we'd love to hear that, too. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page, post there at The Larry Mehler Show. And Andy and Jefferson up next. Andy, hi, thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to say a friend of mine just got back here about a half an hour ago from skiing for about an hour and a half over at Lapham Peak in Delafield. And it's about the only area that we can ski around here now. And the nice thing about Lapham is they make snow over there, and it's probably a little over a kilometer, but you've got a couple nice little climbs. And with all the snow being gone pretty much here in southern Wisconsin, it's our only opportunity to ski right now.
Yeah. I ran a 10K in Lapham Peak State Park last September, and it's a pretty place.
Oh, it's beautiful. And they do just a fantastic job there as far as making snow. A couple little challenging hills,
yeah,
but at least it gives you an opportunity to, you know, get in shape for a couple of the ski races here coming up in February.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on the challenging hills.
Does that hill still finish with a big downhill into the flatland? Is that how that's set up? I haven't been there in a number of years.
Yeah, the slide, as they call it.
Yeah, that's it.
But that one that's not the one that they make snow on. It's a little shorter one.
Yeah.
It's about maybe just a little over a kilometer.
That's great.
So,
thank you very much. So it's good skiing there.
Oh yeah, it's they've got good tracks. So if you stride, they're probably about 2 inches deep, maybe a little deeper in some spots. They probably have a base of about two 2.5 feet, so it's going to stay around a while.
Oh, sounds great.
Terrific, yeah. I'll come down and ski in May.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. There are some hills there. I remember, you know, that 10K was, I think the first 2 miles seemed like it was all uphill, but it wasn't. But
that's how I remember the ski trail, too. You go up, 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 and then ski around up on top of the bluff and around the area, and then you have to come down the slide to finish. And it was always kind of exciting, especially on an icy day.
Mark emailed, I need help understanding how to wax my cross-country skis. I'm a novice and only get out a couple times a year. Can you recommend a website or other resources or just give some, you know, or some combination and give some tips, too, about it?
Sure. I think if there's a number of websites that will help you, and I think rather than giving you the wrong citation, I would just recommend you Google ski wax or ski wax clinic or ski wax help, anything with, and you can sort those out. You can find some good sites. I guess the thing with waxing is that it can be as complicated as you want it to be, but it can also be pretty simple. And if you go to a good store that has cross-country ski equipment and reputable people who know what they're doing, they can help you pick out maybe three waxes that will work for most conditions. And there are undoubtedly variations on a theme that you can continue to perfect and put waxes on top of waxes upon top of other waxes, which you often do for the Birkebeiner. But ultimately, if you're a recreational skier who's just going out a few times a year, like you say, you can probably get by with three kick waxes and not have too much trouble and have a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Somebody else wondered who has never skied before about what's the best way to learn, what the best approach.
Yeah. First of all, I think you rent equipment somewhere. So you go to a ski center that has rental equipment. And if they have someone who teaches, it's worth the $25 or $30 to take a beginning lesson. And there are group lessons that are probably even less than that. That will get you into the sport and explain some of the basics to you. One of the most basic things that people have to deal with is how do you stand up? I mean, you clip these long things on your feet, and it's kind of hard once you fall down to figure out how to get up. But once you have a little instruction in putting your knees together, et cetera, and then coming up, you can do that fairly easily. And how to slow up, you know, how to approach a hill, those kinds of things that intimidate people. A little bit of lesson helps a great deal with that. So that's what I would recommend. Go to a Nordic center, rent skis, and see how they work for you. And then if you really like it, you know, you can always buy the equipment. And there's lots of levels of equipment.
Yeah, and you could get, I mean, you don't have to spend a fortune.
No. A couple hundred, $250, you can have your own equipment that's new and fairly decent equipment.
Yeah. And the other thing that person wanted to know was, I think one thing that kept her from doing this a little bit is you're out there and you see these other folks and they're going like crazy and you're out there, you don't know what, you know, kind of you're going to half the speed of somebody else, let's say. What's the, you know, what, you know, how do you approach this? What's
sure.
the
Well, one of the
etiquette involved, I guess, is the word.
One of the advantages of skate skiing over the last years has been that many of the trails have widened. Now, some people don't like that. However, if you're at a ski center that has wider trails, you don't have to worry too much about people going by you. There's plenty of room. You don't even have to leave the track unless somebody yells at you. And if someone coming up on you yells track or move, just step out of the track and let them go by. Most skiers who are skiing fast are going to go right out around you and won't bother them a bit. And you don't have to worry about other skiers as much as you do just getting yourself down the trail. And most skiers I've met are very considerate, very, very actually, we want people to go out and ski. The more support of skiing we have, the better off it is for all of us. So I think if you're feeling a little self-conscious, try to put that in perspective that most of us want you to be able to ski and want you to have fun.
Let's turn to Jenna in Bruce, Wisconsin. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling.
Okay, so I'm a young skier. I've been skiing for 2 years now and 21 years old. So
cool.
I'm on the Nordic ski team at UW River Falls.
Very and, cool.
Yeah, it's a great time. I started off skate skiing, and my boyfriend has been skiing for as long as I've been alive. And he's 24, so he's been on skis since he's been about 2 or 3 years old. And I don't know, he kind of taught me the basics and how to go. And last year I was super slow, and now I've gradually picked up, and now I'm getting better and faster, and I bought new skis and boots and everything like that. So it's a very exciting sport for me.
Oh.
Terrific. It is an exciting sport. I mean, it's it combines all the aerobic benefits of running with gliding and the speed of going down a hill and the technical things about the sport that help you learn it and get better at it. When you get better at it, it's very rewarding.
Yeah. I've actually faced a recent setback. I had my appendix out on Thursday.
Ouch. Oh!
So, yeah, and I signed up for 3 races. I signed up for one at the City of Lake Slopet, and I signed up for one with the Book Across the Bay and the 12K race at the Birkebeiner. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out there and train enough to be ready for those, and really worried.
Well, the Book Across the Bay I've done many times, and it's have you ever done it?
No, this would be my first
new thing. It's a very flat, obviously, across Lake Superior. For people who don't know, it's from Ashland to Washburn across Lake Superior on the ice and snow, and it's 10 kilometers, 6.2 miles, and it rather than being a straight line across the bay, they kind of curve the course to make it fully 10K. It's lighted with luminaries along the way. Mm. There's usually a hot air balloon and other festivities. And one of my favorites about the course is it doesn't start till 6 p.m. So it's an evening kind of race that you don't see many of. And I think since it's flat, you should have no trouble as long as you're recovering well.
Right, yeah, and I have to talk to my surgeon on Thursday, so I hope he'll give me the go-ahead, because I've been skiing up in the Blue Hills Trails in Bruce, Wisconsin.
Okay, yeah.
So,
they're pretty.
A lot of hills, oh my gosh, I can't even explain. It's like, the first time I ever skied, my boyfriend put me on a pair of old, like, youth skis at 00.
Oh.
On the Berkey Trail, and oh my gosh. So, yeah.
Yes, that would be kind of scary.
It really was. I had no idea. And they were like,
is he still your boyfriend?
Yes, he is.
Oh, good. Yeah. You're forgiving.
Yeah. So the college has a Nordic ski team?
Yeah, it's more of a club team.
Very good.
That sounds wonderful. Well, good luck. I had my appendix out. I remember when I was a student, I had my appendix out the night before my first final exam of the semester, so I missed all my finals. But if you got a couple weeks under your belt before that next race, you should be fine.
Oh, good.
All right. Thanks, Jenna.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Oh, appreciate it very much. Well, there's a young gal, 21 years old, with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yes, it should be great.
And I noticed that in cross-country skiers. I mean, most, you know, once you do it, it's just so much fun. Tom in Lansing, Iowa, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hello, guys. Yeah, I just
funny she was just talking about skiing. You guys were talking about skiing on the lake. I went on the Mississippi River, and my absolute most favorite place to go, it's hard to go anywhere else now, is out on the expansive backwaters that we have. You can just go forever, literally miles and miles. There's no one else to worry about. It's just you, and when conditions are right, it just doesn't get any better.
I had done that years ago, and I lived in La Crosse for a while, and I agree. It was a lot of fun. But there's one thing you have to worry about, right? That current, you have to know where you are and stay out of the current.
Yes, the South Brooklyn River, and I'm kind of lucky for that. But, yes, you have to somewhat know where you're going, but when you get deep enough in the backwater sloughs, stay along the edges if you're not sure. Especially now we've had such a cold snap. I wish we'd be nice to get some snow. You can literally go anywhere. It's nice to know someone, obviously. I guess that's why there's no one else out there, which I don't mind. So,
yeah.
But it can be safe. It's nice to know the right people, but the opportunities out there are endless. It's just beautiful.
Do you skate ski?
I do not. I know a couple fellows that do skate ski, and I run into them out there, and I'm kind of jealous. It's something I haven't gotten into, but I've been skiing long enough that would be the next step, and that is, it looks like a lot of fun, especially out there. It's the guy just goes, he's gone.
Yeah. It's a skate skiing on the backwaters is a real trip. It's very freeing, and it's fast. So if you get a chance to learn how to do that, do it.
I'll say one other thing. Talking about the beginner you were just talking to. Yeah, when I introduce friends and most of them don't stick with it, your first few times, it can be confusing. It can be hard to stay in someone's tracks or hard to get the rhythm or the motion down, especially depending on the kind of skis you're on. But it takes a few times. You got to stick with it.
Yeah,
you really do.
Thanks, Tom. Go. Thanks very much. Appreciate your call. Oh, that was good. Jack in Eau Claire, on to you now. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
And what's on your mind?
I just wanted to make a few comments about backcountry skiing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I haven't heard you mention yet. My wife and I went skiing once on a golf course, and that's what really hooked us. We really loved cross-country skiing, so we went out and bought skis. But I didn't know at the time that there were a different type of ski that you can buy for if you're going to do more backcountry skiing. I think they're a little wider, for one thing. But they can also be used on cross-country trails. So what eventually happened was that since I was a hiker, I began skiing the hiking trails. This was in New York State. And I found that although my skis were adequate, I wished they were a slightly different type. But also I noticed that I had bought kind of shoe boots, which I would call trail boots, which are okay because you're on a manicured trail. But sometimes the snow would melt. There would be a crust, and so breaking through that crust on your skis, you would then catch it with your ankles, which wasn't very pleasant. So if you had higher boots, you'd be better off.
Yeah.
Yes. That's some of the backcountry equipment has a little bit higher boot, a little thicker sole, stiffer, and generally takes more of a beating than on trail equipment. And you're right, the skis are a little bit wider and they're a little stiffer usually. And it depends on how much backcountry you're going to do and where you're going to be. If you're in the mountains, that you need a little even heavier equipment. But in Wisconsin, just any thicker, heavier ski works fine.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack, for calling. Appreciate it. And I want to give Joanne and Eau Claire a chance as well. Joanne, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've skied a lot of years, and I have it now for a number of years. When I was in college, I wanted to tell a little story. When I was in college, I took a couple of different friends going cross-country skiing on different occasions. And my one friend, we went out one day, and it was his first time out. And we got the skis all waxed. We rented skis for him. We waxed the skis. Everything went well. It was a gorgeous day. I was having a fabulous time. He wasn't doing really well. It was his first time out, but I was really patient. And at one point, we sat on a couple of benches there and just rested a little bit. And he said to me, and I still laugh about this, he said, "Go on without me. Just leave me here to die."
Oh, wow.
Which, of course, I didn't. You know, I said, "No, we'll just wait. You know, let's have some water and then let's go on." And, you know, he did just fine, but he was just being humorous.
Yeah.
But I actually haven't skied in quite a number of years because I'm very fine-boned and I'm afraid of falling. And I loved to ski. You know, I've considered perhaps snowshoeing. But I would actually, now I'm sort of missing it with this program today, but I haven't skied in years because I just am afraid of perhaps doing something to my bones that wouldn't be good.
Well, I think you know, that's prudent. I guess you know yourself best. But if you can, you know, find a nice flat trail somewhere and give it a little shot. It's not a whole lot more difficult than snowshoeing. Actually, you can fall down snowshoeing too. So, you know.
And I've contemplated that. I've contemplated that because there are some flat.
Sure.
And your previous guest had mentioned, or caller had mentioned, golf courses, which we did that for years. My husband and I did that for years, and that's actually a lot of fun.
Sure. Yeah. Find a flat hole and go do it.
We spent a lot of time with living on Lake Monona in Madison. We spent a lot of time on the lake.
Sure.
Just went out and made our own trail.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
And David and Rhinelander, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I'll preface this by saying that I've had a saying for many years that cross-country skiing is the most fun you can have all by yourself.
Yeah,
been doing it a long time. Skied lots of Berkeys, and anyway, my son grew up to be quite the skier, and he went to UW Green Bay on a ski scholarship. And what I'm really proud of him, he skis the Berkey yet, very fast, by the way. And he started a youth ski club in the Green Bay area called Bay Nordic, and it's his third year, and he's got about 150 kids out.
Wow,
and, terrific.
Yeah, so he's been great at pushing it. He's the last couple of years he's really had to deal with weather though, and you know, we just haven't had the snow.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm real proud of him for doing that, and this is the worst year skiing here in this area that I can remember ever.
Mm. In the Rhinelander area. Snow. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have so many wonderful trails in the Northern Highlands and Winter Park and Saner, and this is a sad year up here for this.
Yeah, it is difficult. You have to, you know, you have to go even further north, and like I said, some of those trails were closed for a couple of weeks. So yeah, it's one of the worst I can remember too.
Yeah.
So. He called me up last night and said, "Dad, you better get your butt up to ABR."
And that's a ski trail in the UP near Ironwood, and it's almost always open, but even it was closed for about 10 days. So
thanks, David.
Anyway, I'm real proud of him for starting that club. And
what's the name of the club again?
Bay Nordic.
Bay Nordic. Do they have a website?
Yep. He's got a blog, which is Bay Nordic Blogspot or something.
No. All right.
It'd be great if you looked him up. I don't think he has a website, but I know he's got a blog out there that he, you know, communicates with members
his group.
Of the club.
So. Thank you, David. Really appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
See you on the trails.
Yeah, see you on the trails. What's a favorite? You probably have some favorite spots that you like to go to.
Well, I tend, since I am so far north, I like Mecca Ski Trail in Mercer. It's a great trail. And ABR up in Ironwood. Montreal Ski Trail in Montreal, just west of Hurley, mm-hmm. is a good striding trail, a classic ski trail that I enjoy once or twice a year. And this year I've actually skied at Rochecree, which mm-hmm. is a state park trail that isn't always groomed real well, but it's just such a pretty ski around the big old rock that sticks up there, and you can see it from several places. It's a neat ski.
And your book's still out there, and
especially the one you mentioned about the great cross country ski trails in Minnesota and Wisconsin, Ontario, and Michigan.
And that book really gives a lot of good. Explain what's in that book.
Well, we got 61 trails plus a few others. The start up in Thunder Bay and then come down the North Shore, wrap around into Wisconsin, and then go across the Upper Peninsula all the way over to Stokely Creek back in Ontario again. So I had a great time writing it and researching it. And maybe someday we'll do another one. We'll see.
Yeah, but lots of great information about those trails. And, you know, if you're a beginner or whatever your skill level, you give that information that really help people.
Yeah, we try to cover the trails pretty thoroughly.
Yeah. Chad, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being with us today.
Pleasure seeing you, Larry.
Chad McGrath is the author of the book we were just talking about, several cross-country skiing and hiking books, including what we were just talking about here, Great Cross-Country Ski Trails, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and Ontario. And if you're looking for a book that, to help you, where should I go? Well, there you got it. Chad McGrath, our guest today. We're going to stay in the out-of-doors today. And I'm kind of glad to do that. Here I am sitting inside talking about outside, but I tell you what, that's fun too. And it's always a lot of fun to enjoy Wisconsin winter by cross-country skiing. And coming up next, another topic on another sport that I have enjoyed for many a year too. We'll visit with angler Gary Engberg, and we'll get some advice on ice fishing. It's sure to be a great conversation, so stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.